And we'll have a word of prayer. Psalm 91, we'll have a word of prayer before we get into the message this morning. Lord, we thank you for your love and your goodness to us and your grace and Lord, just everything that you supply. We pray, Lord, that you would bless as we look at your word and that you would work in our hearts, Lord, that we might seek to dwell with you day by day. We thank you that it is our privilege as your children to dwell with you and to walk with you, and that we can trust and rest in you each day. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're not going to look at the whole psalm. Psalm 91 is a great blessing. It's, you know, being at home with God, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Let's just look at verses. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. Verses 1 through 4 of Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Now, we're not going to even look at all these verses, just a portion, actually, of verse 4. But as we look at Psalm 91, it talks about making God our dwelling place. Our dwelling place is a place that we live. And so, as we think of our home that we live in, God is our home. And it's very interesting, I was listening to a message about Psalm 91, and the preachers mentioned about the fact that, you know, we have a home that we live in, and we don't always stay there. We go away, go on vacation, or wherever, but we always go home. You know, sometimes in our Christian life, we get away from the Lord. And yet, God is our dwelling place. We can go home and be in fellowship with God. And this morning, I want to talk just a little bit about being in fellowship with God and dwelling with God. Just one portion, actually, of Psalm 91. We find in the first two verses that there are four terms for comfort and refuge and defense and that type of thing. There's he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Secret place is one. Abideth under the shadow of the Almighty. And so that's a second term for comfort, the comfort of the Lord and the defense of the Lord. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. And then the fourth one is fortress. He is my refuge and my fortress. And we find also there are four names for God in verses 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. And then there is also the Almighty in verse 1. And then in verse 2, I will say of the Lord, Jehovah, he is my God. And so four terms for defense and dwelling in the Lord. And four names for God. And we see in this that there is no better place of refuge. There's no better place of comfort than God, than the Lord. And we don't have time this morning to spend all, you know, we could spend all morning just on those names of God and what they mean. But God is all that we need. And he is, there's no better place of refuge and no better defense. But then as we come down to verse 3, we find three things in verses 3 and 4. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. So the Lord delivers us out of the mess that we're in. And that's what the psalmist uses pictures to, you know, picture that snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence and so forth. And then in verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. So he is our protection in the storms of life. And then we find that he is our defense in the battle. The end of verse 4. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And we're going to look at the first part, just the first part of verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. And so we have a wonderful picture here of the protection that we have in God as we dwell with the Lord. And by the way, I skipped over this, but this psalm is a pilgrim psalm. We think of a dwelling place as a permanent place, and God is our permanent dwelling, but we have a temporary dwelling here on earth. And if you notice down in verse 10, verse 9 talks about making, you know, the Most High thy habitation, permanent dwelling place. But then verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, thy tent, a temporary dwelling. And so you and I are on a temporary journey here on earth. But God is our permanent dwelling. No matter where we are in our walk with God, in our pilgrimage, God is our dwelling place. And He is our protection in the storms of life. And we find that picture, the beginning of verse 4, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. So, like a mother bird, and there's different types of birds. Chickens do this. A hen will gather her chicks under her wings. An eagle, a mother eagle, will gather her eaglets and cover them with her feathers during the storm. And so this is a wonderful picture of how God protects you and I as we dwell with Him. And there really are three things as we think of the fact that He shall cover thee with His feathers and under His wings shalt thou trust. This is a picture of God's protection. It's also an invitation to trust in God. But there's three things that we see as we face the storms of life. There's really three things that we can keep in mind. First of all, that God is present with us. He is there when we face the storm. Sometimes we wonder as we go through through the storms of life. And there are many different storms that we may face in our lives, whether they be physical problems or financial or spiritual difficulties. Whatever it may be, we face storms and difficulties, and yet no matter how difficult or how much the wind howls in our life, we can take comfort in the fact that God is there. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. So God is there. God, we know, is omnipresent. He's always present everywhere. In fact, turn over to Psalm 139, another beautiful psalm that talks about God's presence. Psalm 139. And let's look at verses 7 through 12 of Psalm 139, where David is really talking about God's presence, the fact that God is present with us always. Verses 7 through 12. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Now notice what David is saying in verse 8. He's saying, you know, I can go as high as I want. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, if I can go as lowest, you know, as I can think of, thou art there. And so there's and everywhere in between, God is there. There is no place where David could ascend or descend where God would not be with him. And then notice also, he talks about traveling, you know, horizontally as well. Verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea. And one commentator that I was looking at was talking about this verse, and he said that David is talking about traveling as far as he can at the speed of light. He talks about the wings of the morning or the wings of dawn. And of course, as David looked out in the morning, the sun would come up in the east, and the sun's rays would shine out to the west. And he was saying, if I could travel as fast as those rays of the sun, I could still and travel as far as I could. He says to the uttermost parts of the sea, and the sea, of course, would be to his west, and travel as far as I could, God would still be there. In verse 9, verse 10, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And then he talks about the darkness, not being able to see. And yet that makes no difference to God. I can remember, you know, being scared of the dark as a child. And even growing up, you know, I don't like to walk through a dark building, you know, turn on the lights. But, you know, in reality, it doesn't matter to God. He's there, whether we can see where we're going or not. He says, verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. And so we cannot get away from God's presence, no matter what the storm may be that we're facing. God is there, whether we think we can see him or not. And of course, we can't literally see him, but see him with the eyes of faith, that God is there. He is always there. And, a great promise is Hebrews 13:5, where we're told that the Lord will never forsake us. Hebrews 13:5, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that promise is a very strong promise, the way it's worded. There's five negatives in the Greek wording of that verse. And it's as if the Lord was saying, I will not give you up or drop you. That's what the meaning is of never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm not going to give you up. I'm not going to drop you. He says, I will not desert you. And so the Lord is saying to us over and over again that he will not forsake us. He is there. And that ought to cause us in the midst of the storms to rest, to trust in him. Under his wings, shalt thou trust. You're probably familiar with the book A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller, very well-known book. And he was talking about how his presence as the shepherd helped to calm the sheep. And I thought it was interesting. This is what he says. In the course of time, I came to realize that nothing so quieted and reassured the sheep as to see me in the field. The presence of their master and owner and protector put them at ease as nothing else could do. And this applied to night and day. And so, as the shepherd, he was able to calm the sheep just by being there. And the same thing holds true with you and I. We are his sheep, and as we realize he's with us, that ought to calm us and help us to trust in the midst of the storm. And so when we face the storms of life, we can take comfort in the fact that he is covering us with his wings, and that under his wings, we have the opportunity to trust and rest in his presence. But secondly, not only is God there, but God is in control. God is in control. You know, the storms of life, this picture of a, whether you call it an eagle or whether it's a mother hen gathering her young under her wings, that mother eagle or mother hen can't control the weather. They can do their best to protect their young, but they can't control the weather. But God shelters us under his wings, but he also is in control of the storm. He's the one that allowed the storm, and he's the one that's in control. You know, the disciples found this in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. You know the story of how Jesus was asleep in the boat, and the storm came up, and the waves were coming over, and the disciples were afraid. They woke him up and said, you know, don't you care that we're going to perish? And yet, what a picture of the Lord in his humanity. He needed to sleep, but the storm was never out of his control. He's still God. And sometimes it seems to us as though things are out of control, but they're not out of God's control. One of the men in Liverpool, that's part of this Bible study that we have, used to work on the big tankers on the ocean. He worked for Irving Oil, and he would work on the big tankers, you know, that would go down to the Gulf of Mexico. And he said he loved it. It was before he got saved, and I guess his wife got upset about him being gone for so long, because you're gone for months and months. And she said, look, you're not going to know your kids. And so he doesn't do that anymore. But he said he loved the ocean. And we were talking to him not that long ago, and we were at their house, he pointed to the next door house, and it's a two-story house. And he said, oh yeah, the waves would be higher than that house, easily. He said, I loved it. I never got sick or anything. And he said, one time we got caught in a hurricane, and he said, it was great. I loved it. You know, I was out watching the waves and everything. And he said, I didn't worry a bit until, he said, I saw the captain. And he was worried. The captain was worried. And he said, then I began to kind of worry about things. Maybe this is going to be too much. But until that time, it didn't bother him. You know, I thought it was interesting, because you compare that to the Lord. We're in the midst of the storm, But if we look at the face of our captain, of the Lord, we never see any worry. We see only calmness. And, you know, he rebuked the disciples for waking him up and said, "Oh, ye of little faith," he said to them. They were all concerned, and yet if they had just realized who he was and that he was in control, they wouldn't have had to be concerned. And so we realize that God's in control. In the midst of the storm, he shelters us under his wings, and we can trust. The invitation is for us to trust. The shelter is there, but we have to take him at his word and realize that no storm, no matter how hard, no matter how big or how big the waves may seem, we're never out of his hands, and it is never out of his control. But then also, thirdly, we find that this is a picture of God's love. It's a tender picture of a mother, protecting her young. And so not only can we be sure that God is there, that he is in control, but also in the midst of the storms of life, we can take comfort in the fact that God loves you. He loves you. And no matter what the storm is, God loves you. In fact, there are many passages we could look at throughout the Bible that assure us of God's love, that his love is everlasting, as the song that the guy sang mentions. But Romans 8, probably one of the better passages, Romans 8, 38, 39. Paul says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." It's so interesting where it says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, nor any other literally created thing. So the only thing that's not created in all the universe is God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Everything else is created. And so there's nothing at all that can separate us from God's love. In the midst of the storm, we need to keep that in mind, because it's easy to just blame God. And you know the story in the Old Testament, the book of Ruth, and how Naomi and her husband Elimelech went to Moab, and they were in the midst of the storm. And God, there was famine, they went to Moab, and the two sons got married, and then God took the two sons. And so Naomi was left by herself with her two daughters-in-law. And, you know, that was a storm for her to face in her life. And Naomi responds by saying in chapter 1, verse 13, she says, "The hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And I think we have to be careful and not be too hard on Naomi, because what she faced was very, very difficult. And yet the response of Ruth was so much different. It was a response of trust. Ruth says in the same chapter, "Thy people," she's talking to Naomi, "thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." She trusted in the Lord, and we see throughout the book the evidence of God's love and loving kindness. One of the themes of the book, God's loving kindness toward Ruth and actually toward Naomi. In chapter 2, Ruth meets Boaz, and he says to her, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." And so she was just trusting the Lord from a pagan background, and yet trusting the Lord for her life and all the things that she needed. And God blessed her and Naomi as well. And Naomi finally had to acknowledge God's kindness, God's mercy toward them. In chapter 2 and verse 20, "And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And so she finally had to recognize, and she comes to the end of the book, and God blesses her greatly. And so in the midst of the storm, how are we going to respond? Are we going to look at the circumstances and say, "The hand of the Lord has gone out against me"? Or are we going to, like Ruth, trust and rest and see God's blessing and his work in our lives day by day and moment by moment? I was talking about our family reunion a little while ago, and it's kind of a humorous story, but when we were down in New Jersey, when we were kids, we used to go to the boardwalk at Point Pleasant. And there was an amusement park there. And sorry, Mom, I'm going to embarrass you. But when I was little, I must have been maybe four, maybe three or four. And we went on the rides, the kiddie rides, and my mom decided to take me on the little teacup ride. I don't know if you've ever, you know, experienced that, but you know, you get in the teacup and you sit and it spins around. And well, as soon as that thing got started, I started screaming. And I can remember screaming at the guy. Apparently, my mom was laughing, so. But I was screaming at the guy to stop the ride because I was scared to death about this, you know. But the thing is that nothing bad was happening to me or going to happen to me if I just, you know, relaxed, realized that my mother did love me, you know, I could have probably enjoyed the ride. That's an analogy, really. When the storms come in our life, it's not that we have to enjoy the ride, but we can rest and relax under the shelter of His wings and realize that God loves us even in the midst of storms. And you know, as I was preparing this message, originally as I had prepared it, I looked for something to use for an illustration or something, and I was looking on the internet and I found a site where somebody had put a camera up above a nest, an eagle's nest. And there was a mother eagle with her young, and there was this video of a mother eagle in the midst of a storm, and she had the, just like it says, you know, she was covering those eaglets, she had two of them, with her wings. And they were nestled underneath her wings. And it's so interesting to watch because it was a snowstorm, and you could see that, you know, the tree they were on was kind of going back and forth, you know, and the wind was blowing, the snow was coming down. They're just kind of nestled under there, nice and warm and protected. And at one point, it's a little hard to see exactly what's going on, but it looks to me as though the mother kind of reaches down with her beak and nudges, you know, one of them a little closer in. And I thought, you know, what a great illustration, because perhaps the storms of life are what God uses to bring us closer, to nudge us closer to Him. And it's an invitation for us to trust. As Psalm 91 and verse 4 says, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your love and Your goodness to us. We thank You, Lord, that You do shelter us in the storms of life, and that You have a reason for all the storms that come our way. And Lord, help us to rest in Your goodness and Your love and Your presence with us. And we pray, Lord, that You would just continue to work in our lives, that You might be our dwelling place, and that we might learn to practice the presence of God in our lives as we walk with You. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.